Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. I have a splash of color for you today, red, pink, and black, and it's all about the eyes. You'll hear about bleeding in the eye, the many forms of pink eye, and what you can do to speed the healing of a black eye. The information comes from the All About Vision website. First, we have an article just simply titled Hyphema, and that's spelled H-Y-P-H-E-M-A, Hyphema. And this, once again, is from the All About Vision website. The article was written by Gary Heiting, who's a doctor of optometry. In this article, you'll hear a definition of what a hyphema is, what the symptoms are, causes, complications, treatment, and also prevention of a hyphema. The article starts, usually if you see blood in your eye, it's because a tiny blood vessel on the eye has broken open, causing a portion of or all of the white of your eye, the sclera, to appear bright red. This painless blood in the eye is called a subjunctival hemorrhage. And though they look scary, subjunctival hemorrhages are common and harmless and can be caused by something as simple as a sneeze or a cough. But there is a second type of bleeding in the front of the eye that's much more serious. This is called a hyphema. It requires immediate attention by your eye doctor. So what is a hyphema? A hyphema is bleeding or a broken blood vessel inside the eye that causes blood to collect in the anterior chamber of the eye. And this is the space between the cornea and the iris that's normally filled with a clear liquid called the aqueous humor. There's a picture accompanying this article, and it shows a layer of blood. You know where your iris is in your eye, the colored part? And then there's a pupil in the center of that. Well, this shows a layer of blood, a crescent-shaped layer of blood, sort of filling up that cavity, covering up the colored part of your eye. This is what they're talking about, filling the anterior chamber of the eye. It does not affect the white of the eye. So we're back to hyphema again. The severity of a hyphema is graded by how much blood accumulates in your eye. There's a grade zero, which is called a microhyphema. This is where there's no visible pooling of blood. But red blood cells can be seen within the anterior chamber upon microscopic examination. And then there is a grade one hyphema, which is pooling of the blood in less than the lower third of the anterior chamber. This is just the bottom part, barely covering the bottom part of the colored part of your eye. This is grade one. Then we have grade two is when blood fills one-third to one-half of the anterior chamber. Grade three is when blood fills one-half to almost all the anterior chamber. And then, as you may have guessed, you have grade four, which is a total filling of the anterior chamber with blood. If the blood is bright red, this is called a total hyphema. If it is dark red-black blood, this is sometimes called an eight-ball hyphema. In general, the higher the grade of the hyphema, the greater risk of vision loss and long-term damage to the eye. The dark red or black color of an eight-ball hyphema, which is the most dangerous type, is associated with decreased circulation of the aqueous humor and decreased oxygen in the anterior chamber of the eye. So what are some other symptoms of hyphema? In addition to the blood in the eye, the following symptoms usually are associated with hyphema. There are four of them. Blurry or distorted vision. Number two, eye pain. Number three, light sensitivity, which is also called photophobia, or a headache, another symptom of hyphema. Eye pain, sensitivity to light, and headache are especially likely to occur if a hyphema is causing increased intraocular pressure, which is another thing to worry about, the IOP. So the next question that's answered, what causes the bleeding in the eye? The most common cause of hyphema is trauma to the eye. This is why it's important to see your eye doctor immediately if you sustain an injury that causes a black eye. In some cases, a traumatic hyphema also can occur after eye surgery, including cataract surgery, but this is relatively rare. It's also possible for a hyphema to occur spontaneously, particularly among people who are taking blood thinners, such as warfarin or aspirin, or have a blood clotting disorder like hemophilia. Diabetes can also increase the risk of a spontaneous hyphema, as can a tumor growing in the eye. This is called ocular melanoma. Next question from the website, is a hyphema serious, and are there complications? Usually, the blood that collects in the anterior chamber of the eye due to hyphema will be reabsorbed by the body without permanent damage to the eye. But in some cases, clotting of this blood will clog or damage the structure in the periphery of the anterior chamber. This is the part that controls the normal outflow of the aqueous humor from the eye. And this can cause increased eye pressure that can lead to glaucoma and permanent vision loss. Also, in some cases, re-bleeding can occur inside the eye after the initial eye injury that causes a traumatic hyphema. This new bleeding, which usually occurs within a few days after the injury, can be more severe and more dangerous than the initial bleeding. People with sickle cell anemia, a hereditary disease in which red blood cells are distorted into a crescent shape, or those who simply have a genetic trait for this disease, that sickle cell anemia, these people have an increased risk of eye damage from a hyphema. Next section is treatment. Depending on the severity of a hyphema and the associated risk factors, your eye doctor may recommend a combination of the following precautions and treatments for hyphema. Number one, limited physical activity. Number two, head elevation, including when you're sleeping. Number three, wearing an eye shield. Number four, frequent follow-up visits for a few weeks or even a few months. Number five, pain medicine. Number six, anti-inflammatory medicine. This can be either topical or oral. Or number seven, there are some other medications that they might use to treat a hyphema. In the case of a severe hyphema, surgery may be required. Do not use over-the-counter pain medications that contain aspirin or non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, which are sometimes called NSAIDs. If you have a hyphema, these medications can increase the risk of re-bleeding in the eye. Even if your eye feels fine and you don't notice vision problems, see an eye doctor immediately if you have eye trauma that could cause a hyphema. Make sure to attend all your follow-up visits that your doctor recommends. Also, routine eye exams are very important after having a hyphema, as your risk of elevated eye pressure and therefore glaucoma may be higher even years later. So you're asking, how can I prevent a hyphema? The best way to avoid a traumatic hyphema is to wear safety glasses or other protective eyewear whenever you are involved in potentially hazardous activities. Protective sports glasses should be worn when playing baseball, softball, racquetball, basketball, hockey, or other sports that pose a risk of trauma to the eyes. I would add lacrosse in there, too. That seems to be a high risk for the eyes sport. The article continues and says, also be aware that sports like boxing significantly increase your risk of a traumatic hyphema. And if you participate even in paintball games, wear protective headgear that includes a clear, impact-resistant shield that fully protects your face and your eyes. The author of this article, Gary Heiting, a doctor of optometry, is senior editor of allaboutvision.com website. Dr. Heiting has more than 25 years of experience as an eye care provider, a health educator, and consultant in the eyewear industry. His special interests include contact lenses, nutrition, and preventive vision care. So next, from this same website, we have an article about subconjunctival hemorrhage. This was mentioned just a few minutes ago. Subconjunctival hemorrhage by Brian Chu. He is also a doctor of optometry. In this article, you'll hear about what causes a broken blood vessel in the eye. That's another name for it. how to treat a broken blood vessel in the eye, and how long do these broken blood vessels take to heal. So we have what causes subjunctival hemorrhages. The picture accompanying this article shows a close-up of the eye, again with the colored part and the pupil, this time intact. It's just normal looking, but the white part that surrounds it is covered with reddish blood. That's what we're talking about in this section, subconjunctival hemorrhages. Although it's not always possible to identify the source of the problem, some potential causes of some subjunctival hemorrhage include the following five. It can be caused by eye trauma, and this is cause a broken blood vessel. It can cause caused by a sudden increase in blood pressure that can result from heavy lifting, coughing, sneezing, laughing, or even constipation. A subconjunctival hemorrhage can be caused by aspirin or blood thinners such as warfarin, and one of the brand names for warfarin that you might be familiar with is Coumadin. The next possible cause, rarely, a blood clotting disorder or a vitamin K deficiency. Vitamin K aids the functioning of proteins necessary for blood clotting. And the fifth possible cause would be eye surgery, including LASIK and cataract surgery as well. Possible causes of some subjunctival hemorrhages. So how are these hemorrhages treated? Lubricant artificial tears can soothe the eyes, although eye drops cannot help repair the broken blood vessels. If you're taking aspirin or blood thinners, continue taking them unless your doctor specifically instructs you to do otherwise. Make sure not to rub your eye. This can increase the risk of rebleeding right after onset. This is similar to how a nosebleed is susceptible to rebleeding in the early stages. The next question that the article asks, how long do subconjunctival hemorrhages last? The answer, in most cases, it takes 7 to 10 days for a subconjunctival hemorrhage to resolve on its own. As the blood gradually disappears with time, the affected area can change color, just like a bruise. You know how colorful some of those bruises can be as they're healing. The next article is written by the same author that wrote the first article you heard. This article is called Pink Eye. We're switching from the red to the pink now. Pink eye, or conjunctivitis, we have in this article, symptoms, treatments, and prevention. Pink eye is a term that may sound scary, but this common eye problem typically is easily treated and, with a few simple precautions, can often be avoided. Anyone can get pink eye, but preschoolers, school children, college students, teachers, and daycare workers are particularly at risk for the contagious types of pink eye because they work closely with others in the classroom. Here are the essential facts about pink eye or conjunctivitis that you should know. First of all, what is pink eye? Pink eye is also called conjunctivitis. It is an inflammation of the thin, clear covering of the white of the eye and the inside of the eyelids as well. This is referred to as the conjunctiva. Although the conjunctiva is transparent, it does contain blood vessels that overlay the sclera, the white part of the eye. Anything that triggers inflammation will cause these conjunctival blood vessels to dilate. And this is what causes red, bloodshot eyes. Conjunctivitis can have several causes, but many eye doctors use the term pink eye to refer only to viral conjunctivitis. This is a highly contagious infection caused by a variety of viruses. So we come to the next section, what causes pink eye? The primary types of conjunctivitis based on cause are, as you may have figured out, we've got three of them, viral, bacterial, and allergic. The first one, viral conjunctivitis, this is caused by a virus, like the common cold. This type of pink eye is very contagious, usually will clear up on its own within several days without medical treatment. The second type of conjunctivitis is bacterial. This is caused by bacteria, and this type of conjunctivitis can cause serious damage to the eye if it's left untreated. The third type is called allergic conjunctivitis. This is caused by eye irritants, such as pollen or dust or animal dander among susceptible individuals. Allergic conjunctivitis may be seasonal, like pollen, or may flare up year-round, like dust or pet dander. Symptoms of pink eye. Hey, no surprise here. The primary symptom of pink eye is an eye that has a pink appearance. Other symptoms of pink eye depend on the type of conjunctivitis that you have. If you have that first type of viral conjunctivitis, you will have watery, itchy eyes, sensitivity to light. One or both eyes can be affected. This is highly contagious and can be spread by coughing and sneezing. If you have the second type, bacterial conjunctivitis, you will notice a sticky, yellow, or greenish-yellow discharge in the corner of your eye. In some cases, this discharge can be severe enough to cause the eyelids to be stuck together when you wake up. One or both eyes can be affected with this type as well. This is contagious, usually by direct contact with infected hands or with items that have touched the eye. The third kind, allergic conjunctivitis, you will have watery, burning, and itching eyes, often accompanied by stuffiness and a runny nose and light sensitivity. Both eyes are affected. This type is not contagious, the allergic conjunctivitis. Next topic, treatment of pink eye. As you would expect, the treatment of pink eye depends on the type that you have. Going back over those three types again, if you have viral conjunctivitis, in most cases, this will run its course over a period of several days and no medical treatment is required or indicated. A home remedy of applying cold, wet washcloths to the eyes several times a day can relieve your symptoms. However, due to the highly contagious nature of this type of pink eye, be sure not to share this washcloth with others. If you have they've determined you have bacterial conjunctivitis, your eye doctor will typically prescribe antibiotic eye drops or ointments for the treatment of bacterial conjunctivitis. If you have allergic conjunctivitis, allergy medications often can help prevent or shorten your bouts with allergic conjunctivitis. Sometimes these medications must be started before the allergy season or before an allergy flare-up begins. Ask your doctor for details about controlling allergic conjunctivitis. Often, it can be difficult to tell what type of conjunctivitis you have by the symptoms alone, or if some other eye problem or underlying health conditions might be causing your symptoms. Conditions associated with conjunctivitis include other eye infections, dry eyes, and blepharitis. Also, bacterial conjunctivitis sometimes can lead to very serious eye problems, such as corneal ulcer, potentially causing permanent vision loss. For these reasons, any time you develop red, irritated eyes, you should call your optometrist or your ophthalmologist immediately, and they will get you in for a scheduled eye appointment as soon as they can. If you wear contact lenses, remove your lenses and wear only your glasses until your eye doctor has had a chance to examine your eyes. And if you choose to wear eyeglasses more frequently to reduce your risk of pink eye, consider the high index lenses and an anti-reflective coating to make your glasses thinner, lighter, and more attractive, and this will also eliminate distracting reflections in the lenses. Also, consider these photochromic lenses. They can reduce light sensitivity associated with pink eye and also protect your eyes from harmful UV radiation and high-energy visible blue light, both indoors and outside. Photochromic lenses, I think those are the ones that darken automatically when you wear them outside. Not sure about that, but ask your optician or your eye doctor for details about all these things you can add to your eyeglasses to make them more useful to you. The last section of the article on pink eye is titled Pink Eye Prevention. Now that you know the basics about pink eye and other forms of conjunctivitis, what you can do to protect yourself and your kids from it. Here are some simple precautions you can take to significantly reduce your risk of getting pink eye. First of all, there's a lot of them here. First of all, now that you know the number one, never share personal items such as washcloths, hand towels, or tissues. Number two, cover your nose and mouth when you're coughing or sneezing and avoid rubbing or touching your eyes. Never, ever share your colored contact lenses or special effect contacts with your friends. Number four, wash your hands frequently, especially when spending time at school or in other public places. Number five, keep a hand disinfectant, for an example, the Purell product. Keep it handy and use it frequently. A little note from me here, I'm a fanatic about keeping small jars of hand disinfectant Purell in my car. And then whenever I get back in the car, before I even touch the steering wheel or the start button, I've got my hands all sanitized. So keep it handy, hand disinfectant. Number six item, frequently clean surfaces such as countertops, bathroom vanities, faucet handles, and any phones that you might share with an appropriate antiseptic cleaner. I can add the TV remote to that list. They say in some cases that's the dirtiest thing in your whole house. The TV remote control. You can clean those surfaces with the disinfectant. Number seven, if you know you suffer from seasonal allergies, ask your doctor what can be done to minimize your symptoms before they begin. If you wear contacts, be sure you do follow your eye doctor's instructions for lens care and replacement. Use contact lens solutions properly, or consider switching to daily disposable contacts. When swimming, wear swim goggles to protect yourself from bacteria and other microorganisms in the water that can cause conjunctivitis. Before showering, use a hot tub or being in water before showering or before using a hot tub or being in any kind of water, remove your contact lenses to avoid trapping bacteria between your eyes and the lenses. Despite these precautions, you or your child may still develop pink eye. If the problem is contagious pink eye, be considerate of others and do your part to keep the infection from spreading. If your child is affected, tell his or her teacher about the infection. Let the school know so that extra steps can be taken to sanitize the classroom or the daycare center. Also, keep your child at home until the contagious stage has passed. Your eye doctor can let you know when you or your child can again mingle with others without risk of spreading the contagious pink eye. Usually, it takes about 3 to 5 days after the diagnosis. And remember, because a red or pink eye can be a symptom of many different types of eye problems, some of which can be quite serious, make sure you consult with your eye doctor. Don't take these things lightly at all. Next, we have an article. We're getting near the end of the program. We have done pink eye and we've done red eyes. So now I have some thoughts for you about a black eye. The clinical term for a black eye is periorbital hematoma. Periorbital hematoma. This means it's a collection of blood, which is the hematoma part. This collection of blood is located in the tissues around, not inside the eye. And there we get the term periorbital. So we have the black eye, the periorbital hematoma. You might also hear it called a shiner. Some dictionaries say the term shiner originated possibly because the skin overlaying a black eye might appear shiny. But another, I think it's a more interesting theory, is that a black eye looks like a person had applied a smudge of black or black shoe polish around the eye to make it shiny. Shoe black. Could be. Next section, how to get rid of a black eye. While there is no magic cure to get rid of a black eye overnight, here are a number of things that may help speed up the healing process so your eye can look and feel better. Start with cold. Apply that bag of frozen peas. This is a good idea, too. I hadn't heard of this one. A chilled spoon or some other method to lower the temperature of the area around the eye as soon as possible after the injury, and then use this frequently thereafter for the first 24 hours. The bag of frozen peas I'd heard about, but the chilled spoon is a great way to get a small cold spot in there right where you need it, right around the eye, to cool the area down. First 24 hours, do the cold thing. Next, switch to warm. After a day, 24 hours, of applying cold packs or other cold things like that spoon, try gently applying warm, not hot, compresses to your black eye. This will increase the blood flow to the area to facilitate healing. Next, another idea. Gently massage the area surrounding the bruise, not the black eye itself. Massage the area around the bruise in the days following the injury. This may help activate the lymphatic system near the bruise and speed up the healing process. Hey, here's one I can go for. Snack on pineapple. This tropical fruit contains a mixture of enzymes that reduce inflammation and will speed healing, which may help your shiner go away fast. Vitamin C. Though vitamin C may do more to reduce how easily you bruise by strengthening blood vessels, reducing their tendency to leak after blunt trauma, vitamin C may also help speed the healing of your black eye. Then there's something called bilberry extract. This is a relative of blueberry and cranberry. Bilberry contains potent antioxidants that may help reduce or eliminate bruising by increasing the effectiveness of your vitamin C and by strengthening your capillaries. You likely will notice the color of your black eye will change as it heals. Here we go. Shades of purple, blue, even green or yellow are not uncommon. Remember, it is a bruise. In most cases, you will see noticeable improvement in the appearance of your black eye within a week. Now, all information for today's program came from the website called www.allaboutvision.com. It is an excellent website full of all kinds of good information. I frequently go to it for my own information as well. Well, to end today's colorful program, I have a quote for you. Color can speak to the soul in a thousand different ways. This was said by Oscar Fingal O'Flaherty Wills Wilde. You probably know him simply as Oscar Wilde. He's an Irish poet and playwright. After writing in different forms throughout the 1880s, he became one of London's most popular playwrights in the early 1890s. Well, thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great and colorful week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.